This morning, I am very pleased to have the opportunity to deliver a talk that I think is extremely interesting and quite thought-provoking. I think it's going to cause some concern for a lot of you, may even frighten some of you, may surprise a lot of you, and there's a few in the room who I'm sure that will make them somewhat angry at all the toxins that we're exposed to on a daily basis. What I hope that you take away from the talk, however, is an awareness of the great multitude of toxins and pollutants in our environment, and I hope you leave at least with the knowledge that you need to avoid these dangerous things and to do what you can to deal with them. It's quite true that we're living in an extremely polluted world at this point. We're faced with multiple environmental toxins, most of which are toxic metals and pollutants and other chlorinated compounds. The total load, in fact, exceeds our body's ability to fight these things off and adapt to them. They can cause damage to three important organ systems in our body. The first one is our immune system. They're quite immunotoxic. They can cause asthma, allergies. They're responsible for cancers and also chronic diseases. The second danger is neurotoxicity. A lot of these are quite neurotoxic, especially mercury, which you're going to spend quite a bit of time on this morning. They can cause cognition problems, memory problems, and also sensory and motor dysfunction. They can be also quite endocrine toxic, causing problems with our ability to reproduce. They can cause damage to our libido and also our metabolism. It is definitely a global concern. It's in our air, it's in our water, and it's definitely in our food. Just recently, the CDC last year did a survey of people in the United States, and surprisingly, and a lot of this information is going to be kind of scary for a lot of you, currently, all of us in the room are carrying an average of 116 toxic chemicals in our blood on any given day. This is actually up from 27 5 years ago, so over a fourfold increase in 5 years. The folks in Asia, 1 million people in Asia die each year of pollutants. The World Health Organization is quite concerned this problem is only going to get increasingly worse in the coming years. The folks in Sweden have discovered a risk. They're discovering that there's an increased risk of diabetes in people that are exposed to pesticides, herbicides, PCBs, and POPs, which are chlorinated organophosphate compounds in our environment. And they're quite concerned about that. So, you know, why are we concerned with what's happening in the rest of the world? I mean, you know, we're in the United States, we should be concerned with what's happening here. Well, we should be concerned because 1,500 metric tons of toxic material is released into the atmosphere and actually travels on the jet stream around the entire planet. And where are the folks from China? The folks from China in the room here? This figure of 1,500 metric tons actually is the amount of toxic material just leaving the country of China. Just imagine what happens if we add in the rest of the entire continent and the planet. Let's talk about what's in our air to begin with. Interestingly enough, we inhale about an average of 5,000 gallons of air on any given day. United States facilities, mostly manufacturing facilities and power plants, release about 4.7 billion pounds of toxic material into the air every year. You'll be surprised to know that 72 million pounds of that contains known carcinogens. In Chicago last year, there were 68 days, 20% of the days in Chicago last year were unfit, had unfit air for elderly, children, and those with respiratory diseases. Five of those 68 days were actually unfit for the general population. And the fine particles that are produced by car exhaust and power plant emissions have been linked to death from just about any cause, and the literature supports this quite interestingly. These coal-fired power plants in our environment are probably the biggest offender in regard to mercury emissions in our environment. They account for about 40% of our mercury emissions in the atmosphere. The reason that this is important is that mercury, once it's released into the atmosphere, can then settle in our lakes and rivers and finds its way into our food chain, mostly settling in the organs and the fat of fish. It's interesting that mercury in the environment is responsible for about over 20,000 premature deaths on any given year. 10% of women currently carry enough mercury in their system to cause fetal damage. And the things that we rely on a daily basis to survive, our manufacturing abilities, our transportation, our ability to produce electricity, all is producing increasing amounts of toxins and pollutants into our environment and having a pretty big effect on our health. And there must be something in the water. As I mentioned, mercury, once released into the atmosphere, does settle in our lakes and rivers, finds its way into our food chain, and also into our water and into our soil. Mercury, you should know, is quite neurotoxic. A lot of you probably remember the term Mad Hatter, or mad as a hatter. Well, in the old days, these hatters used to use mercury-based solutions to cure the felt that they made the hats out of. And these guys would, upon repeat exposure, eventually get very tremulous, ataxic, had quite an effect on their neurologic system, and almost to the point where they looked psychotic. And so mercury, upon repeated exposure, can have a devastating effect not only on your neurologic system, but also on your lungs, cardiovascular system, and also your liver. In the water, it's interesting that 7 million illnesses and about 1,000 deaths each year are attributed to certain microbes that are in our water, and also chlorinated chemicals that we use to treat our water have been linked to breast cancer. Cyanobacterial toxins are kind of interesting. These are toxins that are released from blue-green algae that are commonly found in our water. The World Health Organization is finding this to be quite a global concern. These toxins can cause increasing problems with various numbers of illnesses, but they can be mostly hepatotoxic to your liver and cause neurologic damage to your neurologic system. Certainly, the folks who have the unfortunate job of actually working in sewage treatment plants are at increased risk for a number of different problems, and it's quite known that they have respiratory illnesses, skin problems, body aches, and also some chronic diseases. Mercury eventually makes its way into our food. There are currently 47 states that have advisories that limit the intake of freshwater fish, primarily due to their content of mercury that are in these animals. Also in our food, we have to be careful of both pesticides and herbicides. Chlorinated pesticides, one of which is DDE. DDE was the focus of an FDA survey about 2 years ago, where they examined a number of different foods that are quite common, not only in schools, but in grocery stores and things that we normally eat. They found that DDE was present in a surprising 63% of the foods that were surveyed. And when they looked at the foods, primarily vegetables, that were on their way to school lunch programs, they found DDE amazingly in 84% of those fruits and vegetables. Herbicides in foods also can be quite a problem and have been linked to a number of different cancers. One of these is still 2,4-D. 2,4-D is a chlorophenoxy acid herbicide, which is still used by a number of different cities to kill weeds on roadways. Once it's sprayed on the roadways, it eventually does get back into our water and also our food chain. And these herbicides are having an effect on the produce and other foods that we eat on a daily basis. Remember that 2,4-D, when combined with 2,4-5-T, becomes Agent Orange. And you thought you were safe in your mother's womb. No, you're not. You saw some reference to that on the CD that was shown earlier this morning. Mothers are putting their babies at risk simply by where they live, the air they breathe, the water they drink, the food they eat, and the things that they're putting on their skin. If the mother's exposed to these toxins, that equals fetal risk, and that's a pretty well-known fact currently in the literature. This is quite a frightening statistic. This was a study that was done in multiple parts of the world where they examined the blood from selected umbilical cords, babies that were just born. They examined that blood to look for different types of environmental toxins and pollutants, and they found an average of 200 different chemicals, pollutants, and pesticides in the blood of these babies that were just born. In fact, they found a total of 287 of these toxic chemicals, a total of 287. 180 of them were known carcinogens, 217 of them were known to cause neurologic damage and to the brain and nervous system. And 208 of those toxins were known to cause birth defects and abnormal development. These kids are actually born with chemicals in their blood that may cause them problems as they continue to grow. Also, in an interesting study done a couple of years ago in New York City, they examined 60 infants that were born to mothers that were non-smoking. And they had these mothers wear air analyzers during their third trimester of pregnancy to try and correlate what they breathed in with chromosomal defects in their child. And unfortunately, what they found was the more environmental toxins these women breathed in during their last trimester, the more chromosomal abnormalities their babies had compared to moms bearing children in rural areas. We are also exposed to a number of different elements. A lot of these are metals, cadmium, mercury we mentioned, lead, tin. All of these have been linked to breast cancer. Cadmium and mercury, of course, can be excreted in the breast milk of nursing mothers. And in addition to chronic disease and neurologic problems, these chemicals can also cause early puberty and also abnormal mammary gland development in animals. Let's take a look at three elements in particular. These have been in the news. You're all probably quite familiar with the fluoride controversy and also the controversy surrounding vaccines. About 75% of the cities currently in the United States have fluorinated water. And there was a doctoral student at Harvard in 2001 who took a look at this issue. And what she found was that boys who drank fluorinated water had a 7 times increase in a bone cancer called osteosarcoma. It was examined carefully. There was a big investigation done by Harvard, and it turned out that she was actually right, and that at least in young men, osteosarcoma is a risk, particularly if they're drinking fluorinated water. Fluoride can also be a problem causing a slowing of the thyroid gland as well. Vaccinations, the vaccination story is quite an interesting one. I'd like to just relate it to you quickly. It all surrounds about the mercury-based preservative called thimerosal, which is commonly put in these vaccines since the 1930s. In the 1990s, if we look at just the 1990s, there's about 40 million children in this country that are vaccinated for a number of different diseases. During the 1990s, there was a definite, huge increase in the amount of autism that was diagnosed in this country. Since the 1930s, we've been using this thimerosal, which is a mercury-based type of preservative, and the reason we use it is it allows us to manufacture these vaccines in bulk dose containers, multi-dose vials. The thimerosal helps prevent the contamination due to multiple needle sticks into the same vial, and it also saves a heck of a lot of money for the manufacturer since they don't have to make single-dose vials. So since the 1930s, we've been doing this. In 1980, the FDA actually banned thimerosal and over-the-counter products, things like merthiolate, which a lot of the folks who are my age in the audience remember your mom putting that purple stuff on your cut fingers. Well, the reason they don't have the drugstores anymore is because it's been banned by the FDA. Well, in 1991, the FDA took a look at, well, maybe we should ban thimerosal in vaccines. They took a look at it and they said, no, we just can't do it. And I think it was because of lobbying from the big manufacturing firms. So what happened next was the CDC decided we ought to vaccinate these kids to more things than just mumps and rubella. And that's when they started vaccinating more kids to more diseases, primarily the hepatitis virus related issues. And one thing they forgot to do, however, was to calculate the cumulative mercury load that would have occurred to these kids when they added all these different vaccines. And unfortunately, what happened was they gave these kids too much mercury. In fact, it was 187 times the EPA's limit for daily exposure to mercury. And guess what? The rate of autism just exploded in this country. Iowa alone, as a state, had a 700% increase in autistics on any given year in the 1990s. They were the first state in 2004 to ban thimerosal in vaccines in this country, followed, of course, by California, which was number two. Radiation exposure, X-ray exposure, continues to be the number one environmentally-based risk for breast cancer. We had a 90% increase in breast cancer from 1950 to 1991, primarily due to technology. We introduced CT scanners, which had a high radiation load. We also had mammography, which was actually 10 times the radiation load that it is currently. Since 91, the rates of radiation have improved due to improvements in technology. We have a price to pay for our progress, don't we? Motor vehicles are certainly a concern. The fuels that we use in our vehicles are toxic. They contain benzene, toluene, xylene. When we burn those fuels are actually converted to different kinds of toxins. Benzene, for one, which is quite toxic and causes a number of cancers. And then the particulate matter, which is really a concern with diesel fuel. The diesel trucks release a lot more of these small 2.5 micron type particles that get into our lungs and can't get out. Those particulate matters have been increasing in amounts as the progress continues. They can cause problems with lung infections, problems with chronic lung disease, and also lung cancers. Certainly those in urban areas and those who work in the petroleum industry are also at increased risk from these toxins, from these different fuels, and from these different exhaust areas. So the entire country is not to blame. A lot of us actually bring toxins into our home, don't we? Have you looked under your sink lately? A number of the household cleaners that we have under there have been known to cause a risk of ADHD and also some learning disorders in children. These little fabric sheets we use to dry our clothes, make them nice and soft and smell good. They actually impregnate our clothes with petroleum distillates and also different kinds of fragrances, which can interfere with our hormone signaling processes in our body. The fragrances and air fresheners we use in our homes can also cause a similar phenomena affecting our immune system. Remember that when you're indoors, your risk of contamination is about 1,000 times greater than it is if you're outdoors. Let me just put the spotlight on Teflon for just a moment. Teflon, also known as C8, a lot of you have nonstick fry pans in your home. C8, when heated, can release about 6 to 7 different toxic gases into your home. Those of you who are bird owners in the audience, like me, have a parrot at home, those gases can be devastating to little bird lungs, and they can die almost instantly if the concentrations get high enough. Those gases, unfortunately, since we have bigger lungs, they also have an effect on humans. It's just that we don't notice it until we reach a critical load area. Teflon is present not only in nonstick pans, but we put it on furniture, we put it in food wrappers, we put it on anything we don't want something else to stick to. And so just be careful of C8, because everyone in this room here, about 95% of us have C8 in our bloodstream right now. They've been linked to cancers as well. There's no place like home, and if the walls could talk, they would tell you that they're excreting a number of different fumes and different toxins into your home, particularly if it's a newly built home or a newly redecorated home. Things like radon gas, which may be present in the soil underneath your house, building materials release fumes from formaldehyde, carpet, your carpet's glued down with benzene and xylene-based glues. Those can be emitted into your home. If you have moisture problems, if you own a stucco house, you could have mold problems, which can affect your lungs and children that have lung and respiratory problems. And faulty appliances release ozone into the environment. And if you live with a smoker, you know how secondhand smoke can affect you and have an increased risk of cancer. 70% of the homes that are newly remodeled, studies have shown, have very high levels of benzene pollutants. And if things weren't bad enough, then comes along a natural disaster and makes things even worse. Look what happened with Katrina. 6,000 underground fuel tanks have been damaged and leaked. We got 1,000 water systems that have been just irreparably damaged. We had 68,000 barrels of oil spilled into the Gulf of Mexico. And my goodness, not to mention, you remember those pictures of New Orleans with all the water in the streets? I mean, most of that was sewage. I mean, that sewage spill and the contamination from that, it's just damaged that city almost irreparably for years. You wouldn't think fires and volcanoes would be much of a concern, but they actually are. Remember that trees are actually growing in the soil where this atmospheric mercury and a lot of the toxins have fallen into. And over the years, those trees have been growing. They concentrate a lot of those toxins directly into the wood of the tree. So if you get a forest fire and you start burning a lot of these trees, guess what's going to happen? You're going to volatilize a lot of these toxins back up into the air. And so anytime there's a forest fire, there's certainly a risk of increased toxins in the air. Volcanoes, by the way, continue to be the largest, biggest offender in regard to mercury emissions in this planet, on this planet. So, a lot of you are probably ready to don your hazmat gear like this guy. I mean, I certainly was after putting this talk together. I go, oh my God, I'm not even going outside for a couple days, you know. So, but we got a lot of toxins to deal with. We're just essentially overwhelmed with them, aren't we? We don't even know what some of them are. They are probably colorless, they're tasteless, they're odorless, they're hard to identify. They are a major contributor to many of the diseases we suffer as we get older. And I thank you for your attention very much, and I hope I've given you some idea of some of the issues that surround us on a daily basis. Try and avoid these if you can. Thanks for letting me talk to you today.